And now, the Goldbergs. Now, at last, Sylvia Allison knows that Sammy merely pities her, and she has promised Molly never to marry Sammy at all. Meanwhile, Sylvia is her husband, but there remains Sylvia's father. In a sense, he has been both the greatest cause and the greatest victim of his daughter's erratic ambitions. Allison is a bewildered, disappointed, heartbroken man. He walks into his own living room on the eve of the departure of the Goldberg family. Listen.
Sylvia?
Yes?
Where's Leah and Ed?
They're somewhere around.
So you're going away. You're going where you're not wanted.
I'm going where I'm needed. Sammy needs me, that's where I'm going.
And when he doesn't need you anymore, what are you going to do?
I'm not coming back here.
Where will you go? What will you do?
My whole world is here with you. There are other places, other things, other people.
And you think you can face a new world all alone, huh?
I have to. Because I can't come back here.
Did I say that?
I don't want to come back.
Why not? Have I been so bad to you?
Your kind of goodness has been bad.
You blame me.
I blame myself, too. But I'm your dog.
Then if we're both to blame, why can't we both?
It's not what you are. It's what you did. It's not what I did. It's what I am.
Those are words, Sylvia. Words. What you're doing is running away from what you're afraid to face.
What's left of it? The people I hurt? They'll be happy with me, John. No one wants me. Not even you.
I never said that.
You're afraid to admit it to yourself. Parents don't usually say they'd be happy without their children. But you would be. It was because of me that you forced yourself to become nothing but a machine, as you said yourself, for making money. You never had a chance to live. I'm not forgetting that my mother died a long, long time ago. And you've been tied to your business. Tied to me and Leah. I'm getting out of your way.
What if you just say this to me, so?
Because you said it to me.
I was angry.
But you're not. You're ashamed to admit to me that you're not.
Do you think I could be happy if I knew that you were somewhere in the world alone?
You forget.
Sylvia.
Yeah.
Oh.
Where's Carabelle, please?
That's all right.
Please let me help you a little bit.
That's all right. Let's have the two little pets. All right. Thank you very much. I'm going to the hospital, Sylvia. You can go to the station and meet us there.
Before you go, Mrs. Goldberg, I have a few things to say.
Daddy.
Sylvia, please.
Mr. Allison, what more is there to say? Sylvia wants to come to Laston, Daddy. She's come. I made you a promise, Mrs. Goldberg. I intend to keep it.
I want Sammy to get well. Whatever I have to do to help him, I'll do. My feelings and my desires are not important. Sylvia says she's not going to marry Sammy. I believe her. Maybe a person believes what they want to believe. I don't love you, Sylvia, any more than I always loved. I don't hate you any more than I always did. But I feel what happened to you, Sylvia, maybe. Dear Sylvia, maybe showed you that there are other things in the world besides your father's money.
My money is what you hold against me, Mrs. Goldberg, huh?
Not your money. Money is good. But we live to make it. Not to you.
I wanted it for my children.
Yes, you wanted it. Not what you give them with it. For you collecting the money was a way of avoiding the responsibilities of taking care of your children. If you'll excuse me, Miss Allison, but you're asking me questions and I have to answer you. There are a million things you have to give children. Each one of them is as important as the other. You have to teach them honesty. You have to teach them kindness. You have to teach them responsibility one to each other. But what you did, Miss Allison, was to pick one thing, security, and give them that and nothing else. It's like a madness that makes a person think that if he stands on his head, everything in the world will turn upside down.
You're telling me I was a fool.
I'm telling you you were misled. And I'll tell you more.
What more can you tell me?
Clint, I can tell you that you're still not honest with yourself. You're my father, but I can see clearly now. When there's nothing left, when there aren't any reasons for lying to yourself anymore, you begin to see clearly. And I can see you, Clint.
You neglected me. You never really cared for what went on in my mind or in my feelings. And you excused your neglect by telling yourself you were making all this money to leave to me and Liz. It was a convenient way of escaping from what had to be done.
Sylvia.
I'm just kidding. I'm not even blaming you, Dick. I'm just saying what you ought to know. We all have weaknesses, and you have yours. And you know what yours is.
You tell me.
You like power. You like the feeling of having someone else's happiness in your hands. That's why you always kept tempting Lee and me with the promise of your money. You could make us do whatever you like by threatening to give it or take it away. And you made me what I am now, that you led me on. And I did terrible things to get my hands on what I should have hated. I nearly killed the only one I ever loved. Well, now you have your money. All for yourself.
I see. Sylvia, you wait here.
Leah! Leah!
Hey!
You wait here, Sylvia.
Leah! Hey! Don't let me. I said what I believed. The way you said what you believed. You told me that the one thing that could hurt me most in the world. It was for my sake that you told me that Sammy always hated me. That he wanted to marry me to save me from myself. It was good to hear that. It cut me down to my right eye. Practically enough. I feel clean as a bare bone now. But my father needs the same thing. We've all lived here in our family in a mist, through which we never saw the truth or a solid place to begin. My father was insane.
Come here.
Yes,
come.
I've got something to say to all of you. And I want to talk until I'm finished. Sit. You too, Sylvia. You, Mrs. Lowry. Please. Each one of you thinks something else of me. But not one of you knows what I really am. Who I am. What could make me happy. Well, let me tell you. Every man has a dream. He keeps it to himself but never tells it to anybody. And then, one day, he either gives up that dream and prepares to die, or he gives up the whole world and starts to live. I remember when I used to be happy. That was very long ago. I had a pack on my back. In the morning, I used to get up and walk along the roads, stopping from one house to another, selling a spool of thread here or a comb there. I made what I wanted for my bread. I ate. I slept. I was free. Now, I'm no longer free. For half my life now, I've been a slave to a business I hated, a life I despised. At night, I used to sleep and think of those days when I was a simple man and needed nothing, without children, without family, without obligations. Yes, you're right, Sylvia. I am a man who hates obligations. But I lived my life full of them. I didn't know how to get that load off my back. But now, I do know. Lee and Ed, you're both married. I hope you'll be happy from now on. You, Sylvia, you're old enough to be what you are, and you know what you are. You keep telling me that. Very well. Then, I'm free again. I'm going to take every penny I have in the world and give it to you, my dear children, for whom I gave up so much. I'll go back to the life I wanted to lead. I'm not too old. You take everything, Sylvia. Everything for which you nearly destroyed your own sister and the boy you said you loved. Julie and Ed, you have it with Sylvia for your family, your security. Maybe it'll be better for you than for me. For me, it was a living death. No, take it all. Keep it.
With this grand and empty gesture, Mr. Allison tries to make up for 20 wasted years. And Molly sits watching this family, which is so unlike her own. A family which has nothing in common except the pain each caused the other. He wonders what will happen to Sylvia now, and to Sylvia's father. But even Molly doesn't know that an answer is being made for Sylvia in Lastonbury.